Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, once again, we're so glad to meet with you and wherever you are all over the world, and we thank the Lord for you. And I understand we just had some new people from some new countries contact us from Iraq and from Spain. And we've had thousands of contacts from many countries around the world, and we appreciate that. And we ask you to pray for us that God will use this program. The purpose of this program is to uphold the Word of God. We have the Word of God, and we have it in the Authorized King James Bible, and it's been translated also into other languages. But there's also a corrupt text out there, and the Lord says in one place in the Bible, it says, my prophets or my shepherds are all dumb dogs. I don't want to get a DD degree. None of us do a dumb dog degree. You know, it's, and the Lord says they refuse to bark. Well, that's what this program is all about. It's barking and telling people that there's the true word of God and there's the false word of God. You know, and barking is very irritating when you have somebody bark why you don't particularly, a dog barks. It's very irritating. And this program may be very irritating to people, but God said that he wants shepherds to bark to, in other words, warn people about falsehood. And so the program is called Where is God's Word? And we're going to have some interesting characters going to be on, interesting people to be on this program in the next weeks that have already told me that they would come on, some outstanding individuals that are believers that we have the Word of God today. We had in the past, we've had Brother Ouellette, we've had Brother Pastor Thompson, and Pastor Ouellette, and other folks, and then we have Brother Marvin Bassinger. He's sitting right across from me here today, and we have Pastor Al Davis, and Brother Davis always has a very interesting scientific report, so I guess we'll start with him, and then we'll continue on with the program.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and also I want to mention you can always find out more about Bruce and about the program or listen to past programs or even find some of the resources that Bruce mentions by going to his website at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And when you go to whereisgodsword.com, you can click on a variety of things and also learn more about Bruce Musselman. But Bruce has been having me do some science reports here, and I've got a creepy crawly one today to get into here a little bit. Let me read two passages here in Gospel of John chapter 1. The Bible says, starting in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And so that's verse 3 there. I repeat that again. "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Now, over in Colossians chapter 1, and in verse number 16, here we are in verse number 16, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Now, what's interesting about this, and I'll get to the creepy crawly part in just a moment here, we saw there in the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 3, as well as in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, very clear evidence that all things were created by God. And in Colossians there, it said things in the earth, and that's where we're going to come to our bugs here in just a minute. But they searched for signs of intelligent life out among the stars by monitoring radio signals that may be coming from space, And you wonder, how would you know if you're getting a radio signal that is something that reflects intelligence rather than just random signals? How do you know it's not just static that's coming out? How do you know it's not something from some star, some like quasar or something like that that's just causing you to think something? And they believe that by watching for a sequence of prime numbers, that indicates intelligence. Now, a prime number is a number such as 1 or 3 or 5 or 7, or I believe the next one is 11, and then 13, and then 17. These are numbers that can only be divided by themselves and the number 1. See, number 2 is a prime number because it'd be divided by itself and 1, but number 4 is not because it can be divided by itself and 1 or by 2. So it's not a prime number. And so the search for evidence of intelligence out there among the stars depends on finding a sequence of prime numbers. Well, guess what? If we look down at our feet, there's a series on the North American continent. There's a particular type of an insect. We call them locusts, but they're really called cicadas. Now, there's some cicadas that come up every year, but North America is kind of unique that we have what's called the Magus cicada, and that's a unique type. They're also called periodic cicadas. They spend most of their life underground, and there's a number of broods across the North America, predominantly the eastern half of North America, and their life cycle is tied in with prime numbers. That's why I made a big deal of the prime numbers at the beginning. We look into outer space for a series of prime numbers. There's what we call 17-year cicadas in some places, such as where we're at right here in northeastern Ohio, and there's also 13-year cicadas. These are prime numbers, and I would maintain if series of things with prime numbers indicates intelligence, this is unique. In fact, let me read something that biologists have said about this series with the cicadas. It says about the cicadas here, explaining the evolution of such an unusual life strategy, talking about this prime numbers that their lifespan is geared to, is one of the most difficult problems for periodical cicada biologists. They can't understand it. They can't explain it in an evolutionary fashion. Because see, what happens is every 17 or every 13 years, the cicadas crawl out of the ground from the nymph stage and they molt and they come out as the adults and they spend a few weeks outside of the ground and they come up in the billions. I mean, it's incredible numbers. In some cases, it may be a trillion or more. And they come up in such huge numbers that you'll see if you've ever been around where they come up, birds eat them, cats eat them, dogs eat them, spiders eat them, snakes eat them, raccoons eat them. Foxes eat them. People eat them. There's an Indian tribe in New York that I don't recall the name of it, but they attribute the cicadas to saving their tribe one year when they had a famine, and the cicadas came out of the ground and they feasted on them. And so it's really amazing. But because they come out in such huge numbers, and their life cycle is based on a prime number, predators cannot get in sync with them. You know, like if you've ever noticed, if you live in the country, if you have a year where rabbit population becomes large, you can bet the next year the fox population will be large. And then the rabbit population will drop, and then the fox population will drop. They've done studies where they have shown where a deer population in an area will increase and then the wolf population increases. And then the deer population decreases and then the wolf population decreases. It goes in cycles like that. Nothing like that with the cicadas because of the prime numbers. And I think it's just amazing. There's 12 broods, they call them, of the 17-year cicadas and three broods of the 13-year cicadas. But here it is again. And let me read this statement here. This explaining the evolution of such an animal or such an unusual life strategy is one of the most difficult problems for periodical cicada biologists. You know what? If looking for sequences of prime numbers indicates intelligence in the stars, wouldn't a sequence of prime numbers right underneath our feet be evidence of an intelligent designer? God created all things in heaven and in the earth, including the periodic cicadas.
You sure come up with interesting reports there, Pastor, and I appreciate you being on.
Oh, thank you.
And that is a fascinating one. We were talking right before the program began about people say, well, are there lost books of the Bible? Maybe you can mention that and what somebody brought up to you.
Oh, yes, at our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, we had a Bible study one time. We have a Friday night Bible study every Friday night at 7 o'clock. And right now we meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. But previously we rented another building. At that time I had a little office with a library of books in it. And somebody was talking that was coming to the Bible study at that time was talking about how his brother had got special permission from the Pope to view the lost books of the Bible. And I said, well, he didn't need special permission from the Pope. He could have come here. I have them in the office on the shelf. He could look at them without any problem. And the guy got upset with me. But we do hear about the lost books of the Bible every once in a while, and books that periodically there's collections on, like the lost books of Eden and the book of Jasher and things like that. People come up with those collections every once in a while, and oftentimes it'll be like they found some new thing that's purposely been hidden from people by somebody with some nefarious plans. So what do you know about those lost books, Bruce?
Yes, isn't it interesting? I have them too at home, but, you know, of course, Jesus said what books should be in the Bible. He divided it to the law, the writings, and the prophets, you know, and those three covered the Old Testament books that we have. And the Jews accepted those books also at the time of Christ. And he quoted from, so we have the right ones. But it's also interesting in Isaiah. Isaiah has 66 chapters, and in studying this very carefully, we see that each one of the chapters in Isaiah corresponds to one of the books in the Bible. For instance, there's 66 chapters, 66 books, and each chapter fits into one of the books that we have in our King James Bible. Not all Bibles have that, but the King James does. You mentioned even a verse of Scripture. Maybe you could bring that up, because I have one too.
Yeah, there's a really great passage here in Isaiah. And let me turn over there to Isaiah. I had that here a moment ago. In Isaiah, in chapter number 40, in verse number 3, it says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And as you said, the chapters of Isaiah, the 66 chapters, correspond to the 66 books of the Bible. And the 40th book of the Bible is the Gospel of Matthew. And in the Gospel of Matthew, and remember I read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 3, it says this, and I'll start in verse number 1. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So Isaiah 40, verse number 3 corresponds exactly to Matthew, 40th book of the Bible, chapter number 3. And even verse number 3 there quotes Isaiah 40, verse 3. Coincidence?
Yeah, coincidence. I don't think so. And those translators couldn't have known that. But I've seen other things like this. You know, the numbers in the Bible, they are defined. Mm-hmm. Like 5 is the number of death. And it's interesting that Genesis chapter 5 keeps saying, and they died, you know. But that's not the only place. And we're just giving an example. And this thing is repeated over and over. Because the Bible's mathematical. I mean, it's the mind of God. Blaise Pascal, the famous, they say one of the most famous mathematicians ever lived, never saw a Bible. One day checked into a motel in France, this is years ago, and he looked at it and he says, this has a supernatural, it's a supernatural. He sees the mathematical, how it's put together. And for instance, in Revelation chapter 13, and it talks about another place, 13 is the number of rebellion, and 666 the number of the Antichrist. And so chapter 13 in Revelation is talking about rebellion. And then it has 18 verses, 666, in Revelation. And it warns the Jewish people about the false prophet in Revelation. But then lo and behold, in Deuteronomy, it talks about the false prophet also. And it happens to be Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 18, the same as in Revelation. Those translators could have never done that. God was behind that translation. And so we're saying in this program here, we have the Word of God, and it's in the authorized King James Bible. And it's based on the text that has come down to us. It's over 99% of the evidence. And the translators, of course, use many translations that they looked at that lined up with the received text or the Textus Receptus and also the Hebrew Masoretic text in the Old Testament. But I almost forgot it, but I'm going to be at Bible Baptist Temple at the Missions Conference, and I'm sure everyone would be invited if you live in the area. I don't think everybody that listens could all fit in there, but
where are they at?
At Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio.
Okay.
And I just thank the Lord. I've known the pastor there, Andy Rusnacker, for many years. In fact, he went to my church many years ago after I had started the church. And of course, he was always a blessing. And he is still a blessing to many people. He started his own church out there at Bible Baptist Temple. He's been there for many years and supports me, and I appreciate. So I'm going to be at his missions conference on the 19th. And so if you'd like to come out and you live in the area, I'm sure you would be welcome. I also like to thank the People's Baptist Church. It gives supports. Me also personally, and then Country Baptist Church that would be Aurora or Manaway, Ohio. And I thank the Lord for all of these and that support the program and support myself also, that makes it possible for us to be on. And all you that pray, all the thousands, we've got thousands and thousands of contacts from almost every country in the world, and it just astounds me. I mean, we get contacts from China, Japan, Russia, and many contacts we've got. And so we appreciate all you people listening, and then Australia, all over Africa, and all over Europe and the European countries. So we thank God for you. Well, we always want to let folks know books that they can read on the true text. Now, everything that the devil does, everything God does, the devil imitates. God has a church, devil has a church. God has a people, the devil has a people. God has a Bible, and the devil has a Bible. And he perverts everything that God does. But the words of the Lord, the Bible says, are true. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Jesus was the author of the Bible. And there's many passages that teach preservation of the scripture. But unfortunately, it is not taught. But God said he would preserve the words. And I remember when I first made this study, I went to a seminary to the head of a Greek department. And he gave me a paper, and it said that God never said he would preserve his words in the paper. This is the head of a seminary, and I had read the Bible and the New Testament through 100 times by that time, and those verses just started to pop into my head, verse after verse that said God would preserve his words. Like it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So we can trace the true text, the Hebrew Masoretic text, back to the time of Christ, and then the New Testament text back to the apostles. And so I want to read a scripture verse here for us today from Jeremiah chapter 23. And it says here in verse 30, "Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues, and he saith. Now, in studying this, the last 30 years, I've been reading every book on the subject. And by the way, I want to tell you, if you're ever interested in the subject, say you don't believe what we're saying here, and yet this could be a source book for your own research, because everything is documented. It's about a 1,200-page book called Hazardous Materials by Gail Ripplinger. It's called Burning Bibles Word for Word. And it's easy to understand. It's very interesting. And every time I'm reading it through again, and as I'm reading, I am just astounded at actually how good it is, because as she is writing this thing, she's giving scripture verses and quoting them. You can read them. And she's documenting what she's saying. It's just an absolute tremendous book. Every preacher should have this book. Because today, the great controversy is, you hear preachers on there saying, the Greek says, this is an unfortunate translation, all that stuff. Well, in the book, it tells where these translations come from and where the lexicons come from and who wrote the lexicons. For instance, I was just watching on television a Christian program, and they correct the Bible on this program. They use the King James and then correct it. And one of the people on the panel, on the program, was quoting from Thayer. Well, Thayer, and people are unaware of this, Mr. Thayer was a Unitarian. He openly said he denied that Jesus was God. And they're using his lexicon, that's a Greek-English dictionary, to define words. They're using like Weiss. Now, Weiss is an evangelical and he's respected, but he's using lexicons from the 19th century that are put out by people that are not even saved people by any biblical standard whatsoever. They have today, you know, a young man goes to college and he gets into a Greek class. And so then he's supposed to translate and they teach him that. And then he's given a lexicon. Someone's called these lexicons spiritual porn. And that's the truth of it, because so many of the writers of these lexicons were not even Christians. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. No matter how educated he is, if he is not saved, if he does not have the Spirit of God in him, he rejects the Word of God. And it says neither can he know them. He can't even understand them. And so today, preachers sometimes they're defining words with lexicons and dictionaries that are put together by unsaved people that the Bible says reject God's word and they can't understand it, and they're correcting the authorized King James Bible that God put his seal on it. The Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever. Every generation it comes back. Today, recently, they made a poll, and people that read the Bible every day, even in fact, more than that, people that read the Bible, I just read a recent poll, over 55% are reading the King James over all others. Why? Jesus said the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. The King James Bible doesn't have errors. It's all truth. And we have it today, and the Bible says, in thy word do I trust. That's what this program is all about. We have many reasons why we believe it is the Word of God. And the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart. The word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart, in thy mouth. That is, it's near us. We have it in our heart and in our mouth. And we have it today. And we can trust it. We can believe it. And we don't need to believe people that correct it. Well, God bless you. God's alive. Jesus is alive and well and is getting ready to come back.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.